You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It's time to get up with absolute madness. Kentucky goes down in a first-round stunner. And that's not all. Plus, the for sale sign is up in Arizona. The number 4 pick in the draft is up for grabs. Which teams need to move up and make a huge splash? And one of Aaron Rodgers' new teammates is feeling awfully super about the Jets. And is he right? Hey, good morning. It is Friday. I'm Brian Custer. And for Greeny, look who I got at the Seaport. D.O. Dan Orlovsky is here. Gross, of course, is here as always. We got Mike T. Dominique.
Oh, what up, Mike T? What up, Dominic?
Yes. Jay Billis, our college basketball expert, is with us. And Jay, we've got to talk about an upset last night. Oakland, Kentucky, first round NCAA tournament. John Calipari, his 3 seed. Taking on the 14 seed Oakland in the first round. Oakland in Detroit, by the way, and Jack Goldstein was the man. Division II transfer buries that 3. Oakland up 5.
Play. That looks like me at the YMCA.
And how about the comeback, Rob Dillingham? Kentucky trails by just 1. And then Oakland's next possession.
Get a bucket.
Rocket Watt finds DQ Cole. Corner pocket. Ooh. Stagger. He had 12. Oakland knocks off Kentucky 80-76. They advance to the second round for the first time in program history. Here's Coach Cal after the loss.
This thing here, it's a different animal. We've been able to help so many kids and win so many games and Final Fours, national titles and all this stuff, win league championships with young guys. It's changed on us. It's all of a sudden it's gotten really old. So we're playing teams that our average age is 19. Their average age is 24 and 25. So do I change because of that? Maybe add a couple older guys to supplement.
You know, Thursdays marked the Cats' 4th loss into a double-digit seed since really seeding began the NCAA tournament in 1979. And 2 of those have come in the last 3 tournaments for Coach Cal and the Wildcats. You know, Kentucky is 1-4 in its last 5 NCAA tournament games. It's tied for its worst 5-game stretch in the tournament in program history. So let's bring in Jay Billis. And Jay, give me your biggest takeaway from Kentucky's really shocking departure from the tournament.
Yeah, well, it was shocking. It was surprising. Shocking, I don't know, because Oakland is a very good team. You know, they've got more than Jack Golke, who Jack Golke has made now after that game 131 threes on the year. He's 4 of 8 from 2. He's only made 4 twos on the year. So you know going into the game exactly where you have to guard him. And Kentucky didn't dedicate a defender to him that wouldn't help off on anyone else. And they wound up giving up 10 to Golke, and they gave up 15 overall. You give up 15 threes to anybody, you're putting yourself in a position to lose. And combine that with Kentucky was facing a zone defense that matched up and was very difficult to play against that Oakland runs. And they run it every game. And it looked like a Rubik's Cube in the dark to Kentucky in order to solve. So that usually leads to putting yourself in a position where you can get beat in a game. And you got to give Oakland a ton of credit. But Kentucky, if they played a 7-game series, Kentucky wins the series. But you know, we all know the NCAA tournament is not a 7-game series. You know, you slip on a banana peel, you're out.
Yeah, you're right about that. Golke with 10 threes last night. So what is another first round loss mean for Kentucky and Coach Cal's future? I've called a number of Kentucky games. I know you have this season. The Commonwealth certainly is not happy. Coach Cal said this is one of his most talented teams. They didn't win a single SEC tournament game, nor now an NCAA tournament game this season.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to listen to it. That's part of the deal when you're the head coach at Kentucky, is they're a very vocal fan base. They know the game, and they expect to win. And when you fall short of that, but Cal's done it some different ways recently. Like, I understand what he said in the post-game press conference, but first of all, there's no team out there whose average age is 24 or 25. You may have some 24, 25-year-olds on the team, but your average age is not that, and their average age isn't 19. But he went older a few years ago and tried to essentially to get ahead of the transfer portal, get older, and they lost to St. Peter's. So this is about being prepared to play. It's not about simply your age. And he's not going anywhere because they'd have to buy him out at $33 million. He's got a lifetime contract. So he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, you're right about that. Meanwhile, let's take another blue blood. Boy, they came close to getting upset last night. Kansas held on against Samford thanks to this foul call on A.J. Stanton-McCray when he attempted to block a dunk there by Kansas guard Nick Timberlake. Now, Samford could have potentially gotten the ball back with, down one under 14 seconds to go. Instead, the Jayhawks extended the lead. They, of course, went on to win that game 93-89. Give me your reaction to the call, though, first.
Just unfortunate. The officials were trailing the play. It was in transition. Samford presses, and Kansas threw long. It was just one of those things where the officials missed it. In the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal. Officials are going to miss calls, but I think there are a lot of people out there that maybe don't watch a ton of basketball, or maybe don't understand the replay rules. You can't replay that. You can't consult replay on it because it's a judgment call. In the game. Otherwise, we'd be at replay every 5 seconds. We are there now anyway. But you can replay an out-of-bounds call in the last 2 minutes of regulation or overtime. And there are a couple other things, but you can't go consult replay for a judgment call like that. So just really unfortunate for Samford.
Do you think that's something that they will look at and change going forward?
I hope not. We spend way too much time looking at the officials' backsides while they consult replay now. This is not football where there are committee meetings between each play. It's really disruptive now, especially toward the end of games. You start adding things like this. I mean, we had a similar play that was a goaltend years ago in the Kentucky-LSU game that led us to replay goaltend calls. And that's disruptive. So hopefully they won't overreact to this, because replaying a block shot would be a severe overreaction.
Jay Billis here with us. We'll talk more about the tournament a little bit later in the show. Thank you, Jay. Meanwhile, Kentucky's loss to Oakland, definitely the biggest bracket buster of the day, as about 7.5% of the brackets picked Oakland to pull off the upset. But after Thursday, 1,825 brackets out of over 22 million remain perfect. That is 8,000th of a percent of all the brackets. And one guy who still has a perfect bracket, how about Falcons running back Bijan Robinson? Hey. Look at this. He says, nice little change here. A perfect day on day one. Ha ha. Kind of dope. Love that. So let's talk some football then. How about national champion quarterback J.J. McCarthy? He's going to be in front of NFL teams today. He's got his pro day in Michigan. He's one of those hot draft prospect teams that are interested in moving up for. So just how high? You know, the Cardinals GM was asked whether he'd consider trading the fourth overall pick.
It'll be a big neon sign that says open, and we'll I don't like it blinking. That kind of messes with my eyes, but yeah, we're always going to be listening. You know, I think, you know, we'll always have the conversation. You know, we may not get to a point where the deal makes sense, whether it's at four or anywhere we're picking.
So he's basically saying that the pick is up for sale here. What are you hearing about the interest level in the fourth overall pick?
I think it's going to depend on how the first three come off the board, right? Like, if you're going to trade up to four for a quarterback, it's going to have to be a specific one. So if it goes Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, in whatever order, then it's McCarthy next. So, like, are you motivated to go up and get J.J. McCarthy? Is he worth that to you, whatever the price will be to move up? So Monty Austin for the Cardinals are in the best possible position you can be in the draft. They have a top five pick and they don't need a quarterback. So they'd be very happy, I think, to stay put at four and take whatever, Marvin Harrison Jr. That'd be a great pick for them. But he wants it out there that I'm willing to listen, because when teams move up in the first round for quarterback, oftentimes they overpay. They do something silly. And I think if you're Monty Austin for it, your hope is like, well, I'm happy sitting at four and taking a difference-making wide receiver, but if someone wants to offer me something crazy, I'd be silly not to at least listen. I think that's what you're hearing.
I mean, realistically, there's three teams within 10 picks of that fourth pick that technically need a quarterback. Number one, the New York Giants need a quarterback. They got to figure out their future. Number two, the Minnesota Vikings. We all know they've been active. And then three, I would claim the Raiders have to be aggressive with trying to go get somebody. So if you're the Cardinals, you know that there's three teams that need and want to in many ways. You could throw the Broncos in there as well. Mm-hmm. Move up. The Cardinals are in a great spot because, one, to Graz's point, they can sit there and take Marvin Harrison Jr., and he's going to be a – they need size at wide receiver, let alone good players at wide receiver. So he's going to be a stud. Or they can sit there and go, come get the fourth pick. Now, is four rich for J.J. McCarthy? Probably. That's the game in the NFL. You know, is he likely the fourth best player in this draft? No. But he is going to go top five. Put it down, because teams – are going to go aggressive, get aggressive. And if you're Arizona, you're sitting there going, we could take Marvin, or we could go back and get Romo Dunze or Malik Nabers or Brian Thomas or somebody like that. But J.J. McCarthy is going to be somebody that teams are going to sit there and go, after today's pro day, yep, lock top five pick.
Nick, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the value of the pick, and I think it's obviously very smart to put it on the market to see what you can get. But let's not outthink ourselves. There's a player in the draft right now that is from Hall of Fame DNA and plays like a future Hall of Famer in college right now and can impact the offense almost as much as a quarterback can. You already seem comfortable with the quarterback that you have. Go ahead and grab Marvin Harrison Jr., and I think that changed the dynamic of your team. Understand that the Cardinals have a lot of different issues that they need to address, so they should listen for trade demands, but it would take a lot for me to get off of the potential of having a player like this that shows the ability to be a time great at his position.
What about you, Mike T? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I see it different than Neek, which is, as Dano alluded to, there's five teams that could go up to number four, from the Giants then to that clump of teams from Minnesota, Denver, Raiders, even the Saints. So to me, if I could trade back and get Malik Nabers or Roma Duzier and a package of picks, I think that's a no-brainer. I think Marvin Harrison is going to be a great player like everybody else, but J.J. McCarthy is really where this draft starts at number four, and I agree with Danny. I expect him to have a great pro day. I think he's a top-five pick. And the Giants 6 weeks ago, Brian, were probably thinking like, well, is it Daniel Jones or J.J. McCarthy? I think that luxury for them is off the board, and I think the draft really starts at number four.
I see you shaking your head.
Yeah, well, I think if you're the Cardinals, you can't go too far back, because those receivers, at least the top three, aren't going to last really past, I would be shocked if 10 or 11. So, and I agree with Mike T. I think Minnesota's the team that's going to go try to go up to the number two pick. I think Minnesota wants to go as far north as they can, maybe get Jaden Daniels at two. If they can't go to two, they're going to try to go to three. If they can't go to three, they're going to try to go to four. And then the Cardinals will have to figure out, is going back down to 11 actually worth it? To Neek's point, passing on the potential of Hall of Fame talent, Marvin Harrison Jr.
The Cardinals have 11 picks in this year's draft and would have more in this scenario. So if you move down to 10 or 11 and you need to go back up two spots to get a receiver, you can do that. They have a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what they do. Listen, Mike T, I know you've moved up in the draft. When he says blown away, what is blown away for you to give away that pick?
Yeah, Brian, let's look at what they did a year ago. They were outstanding. They got a future first-round pick from Houston. Now, usually a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach, that's going to be a high pick, but Miko Ryans and C.J. Stroud exceeded expectations. If they could get a first-round pick from a team with a rookie quarterback, that's being blown away.
Okay, we'll see what happens. Hey, take a break here, because coming up, can Caleb Williams instantly turn the Bears into contenders? And is Chicago set up for success for years to come? And one of Aaron Rodgers' new teammates, well, he's feeling awfully super about the Jets. Can they make a championship run? Obviously, they've been talking to Greeny. We're going to talk about it as well. It's Get Up here on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. You only pay what you need. Well, Dan Graziano's with us, and that can only mean one thing: Overreaction Friday. Okay, Graz, let me start with Baltimore. If I said Derrick Henry is the piece that will put Baltimore over the top, is that an overreaction?
It is an overreaction, and nothing against Derrick Henry, who's a monster and will be very good for the Ravens. But I think about the Ravens, and I think more about who's left than who has come into Baltimore this offseason. That 3 offensive linemen that were starters for them last year no longer with the team. Significant losses on the defensive side of the ball, including 3 defensive coaches, the coordinator and 2 of his assistants. So I think the Ravens need to replenish in a lot of places. They can absolutely do it. They're one of the best organizations in the league. I don't doubt them, but I think there's more work to do in Baltimore than just add running back and win one more game.
I mean, look, the Texans already have shown us that they're a team that is on the rise. Is it an overreaction to say that Houston right now, biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs Nation?
It's an overreaction to call them the biggest. I'm going to put them in the conversation with the other AFC contenders after the year they just had, the excitement around the young quarterback, and the offseason they're having, which I think has been very good. I think, you know, you lean a little bit more toward the teams you've seen have some playoff success in the AFC, like the Cincinnati's and the Buffalo's and the Baltimore's, but I don't see any reason Houston can't challenge. I think it's an overreaction to say the biggest, but I think you do have to put them in the conversation.
I think it's obvious, then we were talking about the draft, that Caleb Williams is probably the front runner to be the number one pick in the draft. If I said Caleb Williams will lead the Bears to the playoffs in his rookie season, considering all the additions they've made, is that an overreaction?
I don't think it's an overreaction. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility for that to happen. Obviously, a lot, you know, he's a rookie quarterback. We don't know how he's going to do right away, but he has got a lot of pieces around him that put him in a much better situation than most rookie quarterbacks who are asked to start right away. So, yeah, I mean, with 7 playoff teams in each conference, they won 7 games last year. You know, could you see them winning 2 or 3 more and getting in? I don't think it's out of the question at all.
All right, let's talk about Caleb Williams, because, of course, he had his pro day this week. Dio, I know you watched it thoroughly. Give me your thoughts on what you saw.
I mean, pro day, I don't want to make too big a deal about a pro day. It was underwhelming. You know, he didn't flash some of his physical talent. So I don't want to make too big a deal about it. Like, it seems to be governed in a little bit. Like, they weren't going to show off a ton. Now, is that because they believe or have information that he's already locked in as the number one pick? I love to see when guys go out there and maybe not run around and do all the unbelievably athletic plays that we see on tape, but just when you're, I will always go back to last year, and everybody that was at CJ Stroud's pro day saying, or the combine, it was the best throwing session they had ever seen in their lives. Now, it correlated obviously into game time, but here's the thing with Caleb Williams. He's going into an unbelievable situation if he is the number one pick. It's the best situation a number one pick quarterback has gone to in the history of the NFL draft. As long as he's himself and fixes some of the flaws of his game, then he's going to hit the ground running in ways that other quarterbacks haven't.
What do you think about him saying, taking the approach of, hey, people say I'm a big play guy, I do plays out of the pocket. You know what? I just want to just throw regular throws under center, over the middle.
I mean, his superpower is he's an unbelievable creator, and that is a necessity to be great in the NFL. Now, that is not the only necessity, so I don't mind some of the, I'm going to do it within the pocket and go some play action ball fake and whatnot and drive the ball downfield. I think that's the throw that ends his pro day. We all know that Caleb is an unbelievable athlete and super talented kid. Will he be consistent at the NFL level in regards to what's going to be needed from the number one pick? That's the question.
Mike T, what are your thoughts on what you saw?
Yeah, Brian, I thought he had an outstanding pro day, and I would definitely take him number one. My concern and how I would manage him is he's going to be competing against expectations that he needs to be Patrick Mahomes from the first snap, and he doesn't. He has a defensive head coach, and when we had Mark Sanchez, ironically also from USC, you constantly heard Rex Ryan talk about ground and pound, and things worked out. We got to the championship game, and I think when you look at the Bears, they added Colvin Shelton, a really good center, DeAndre Swift, they have a good tight end, and Cole Kmet. With a defensive head coach, Brian, I would be balanced in year one. Caleb Williams had 83 sacks, 32 fumbles. Let's clean up the fundamentals. Let him walk before he runs, and he could be a superstar. But in year one, he doesn't have to win the Super Bowl on the first snap. And I think there's the right way to manage him so he can manage expectations and do well, but not have to, you know, throw for 400 yards every game.
Dominic, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I'm excited about Caleb Williams just like everyone else. And Dan's right about that situation. It's turning out to be really great. They're going to add another outstanding player at the 9 spot. But yeah. I think what worries me is the expectations that are on top of Caleb Williams combined with his already like proclivity to hold onto the ball and try to create a big play. So he's going to be trying, to Mike T's point, trying to be that great quarterback that we have expectations of him being, Patrick Mahomes-esque, and that's compounded by the fact that he already like has the inclination to hold onto the ball and sometimes get sacked. So things are going to move faster for him. I'm sure he's going to be prepared for it, but that's what scares me is him wanting to prove the value of that first round pick every single snap and not completely understanding that sometimes in the NFL, you have to take a L, throw an incompletion, get rid of the ball, throw a check down in order to make sure that you survive.
Yeah, you got to hit singles. The great quarterbacks, we have watched this. The guys, because the position has transitioned. You need athleticism to be elite in the NFL now. Even those guys, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, at some point they get into their career where timing and rhythm has to be the foundation of their game. The question is, can Caleb make it there?
It's almost like Bryce Young. Remember when we thought when Young was coming in, we were like, okay, Carolina is in a good situation. They're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, we were wrong about that, as it turns out. And I mean, I guess it's possible we could be wrong about the Bears, too. I just, like Mike T's talking about, he doesn't have to. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on this player. Justin Fields had a lot of fans in that town and in that locker room. If this guy comes in and isn't really good from day one, I don't know. People could get angry.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, coming up, we got a Rodgers relaunch with a new look offense in New York. And one of the newest Jet stars is feeling super, as in Super Bowl. Is it possible? We'll discuss.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's.
Back to the upset of the night. Oakland shocks Kentucky thanks to Jack Golke's 10 threes. Coach Cal now falls to 1-4 in his last five NCAA tournament games. The Grizzlies move on. Here's Coach Cal on the loss.
Yeah, I've lost tough games before, and we've won some really buzzer beater games at pulling game. I mean, I've been through everything in my career, so, but this is one that's like, man.
You know, Kentucky went to Thursday's matchup with Oakland as a 13.5 point favorite, according to ESPN Bet. That is the third largest upset of an SEC team in the NCAA tournament since the field expanded in 1985. All right, joining us now is our ESPN basketball analyst, Andrea Carter. All right, Andrea, your biggest takeaway from Oakland's big win over Kentucky last night?
The biggest takeaway, Brian, is that teams are not going to win national championships when their roster is based on one-and-done players. It's just not going to happen. In this era, with the transfer portal, Jack Golke was in his sixth season of college basketball. His level of experience is elite. And the thing is about young guys, it's hard to get them to understand the importance of very little things. Jack Golke's coming off the bench. He only started in 15 games. Yes, he lights it up from beyond the three-point line, but for young guys, they're probably like, I'm not worried about this guy coming off the bench. He's not going to hit that many threes. He lit him up for 7 in the first half. It takes young guys a while to make adjustments, especially this Kentucky team that struggled with defense all season long. You're not going to win a national championship with one-and-done guys. That's the biggest takeaway. But Coach Cal isn't going anywhere because Kentucky fans show up season after season to watch these superstars come in and then go to the NBA. They averaged 19,900 fans at home this season. It's not just Coach Cal's buyout. It's the fan base. He's not going anywhere. They show up for those games.
Yeah, you're right about that. Let's talk about the women's side because, of course, it tips off as well today. And as it stands, undefeated South Carolina, the odds-on favorite to win the national championship. That's according to ESPN Bet. Now, you've got the defending champion LSU Tigers. They boast the third shortest title odds, but the Tigers in that same region as Caitlin Clark and Iowa, meaning we could get a rematch of last year's title game. So with that, what would you think a title mean to Caitlin Clark?
Listen, people are going to give me a hard time for this, and that's fine. But if Caitlin Clark wins the national championship this season, she is the GOAT of college basketball, the greatest of all time. There are multiple reasons why. The first one, are the records that she's broken on the men's and women's side. Caitlin Clark will be the first player ever, Brian, to lead the country in not just scoring. People want to say she's the greatest scorer of all time, and that's true, but scoring and assists. She's the only player to reach 3,000 points and 1,000 assists. No player has ever done that before. So there are things that she's done that no player on the men's or women's side has ever done. And to me, I know players have won multiple national championships. Breanna Stewart won 4. Maya Moore was my favorite player. I had newspaper clippings of her. Every time I see her or I talk to her, I get butterflies because I still get that excited. But Caitlin Clark, if she wins one, she's the GOAT. To win multiple, that's a representation of a program. To win one, that's a representation of a player. If Caitlin wins one, along with the record she has on the men's and women's side and the team she would potentially have to take down to get it, she's the GOAT.
All right, so let me talk to you about South Carolina. Their favorite, obviously, you know this, to win it all. Are you taking the Gamecocks or are you taking the field?
I've got to go with the Gamecocks. And the reason why is I like to stay consistent with my takes. I picked South Carolina last year to win it all, and they had noticeable disadvantages on the offensive side. They couldn't hit threes. This season they have Tahina Paopao, who transferred in, leads the country as far as Power 5 teams go in three-point field goal percentage. They've got size on the inside. South Carolina has four things that no other team has. They have size, they have speed, they have experience, and they have depth. And they also have skill if you want to throw in a fifth team. Some teams might have two or three of those things. Iowa, right? They have skill and they have experience. LSU, they've got size. They don't have depth. South Carolina has all five of those things. I'm not picking against them.
And you can add a six. How about Dawn Staley as well? They got a great coach.
That's true.
Andrea Carter, thank you. I appreciate it. By the way, the NCAA Women's Championship first round, it begins today. You got Maine taking on Ohio State at noon Eastern, followed by undefeated, you heard Andrea talk about them, South Carolina and Presbyterian. Then Rice squares off against Angel Reese, LSU. All the games available on the ESPN app. All right, back to football. Let's play a game, guys, of what if. Neek, what if the Cowboys are unable to extend Dak this offseason?
Then they better win the Super Bowl. I think obviously he could sign an extension sometime in season, but the longer this goes, the more likely it is that Dak Prescott is going to get tempted by free agency, and then the Cowboys' window would be closed until they find another quarterback. So I think that Dak Prescott's offseason decision is really going to determine the future of the Cowboys for the next 5 to 10 seasons.
Graz, what if the Dolphins sign Odell Beckham?
That'd be a lot of fun. I mean, look, he'd basically be their third receiver at this point, right? He's 31 years old. Did you know that over the last 4 years, Odell Beckham has caught a total of 127 passes? That includes postseason. So at this point in his career, this would be a great spot for him with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle already on the roster, a creative offensive play caller and Mike McDaniel that could find ways to use him effectively. I think it'd be a neat place for Odell Beckham to end up.
Dano, what if the Jets have 2 1,000-yard receivers next season?
It's hard to not put them in the AFC Championship game then. That would mean that many, if not all of them, stayed healthy, specifically on the offensive side of the football. We know that defense is going to be one of the top five defenses in the NFL. And if Garrett Wilson has somebody opposite him to play wide receiver that can be impactful and draw some attention, like a Mike Williams in their new acquisition, it means that their pass game flourishes. Breece Hall in the backfield. It would be hard not to put this roster into the AFC title game.
You know, their newly acquired left tackle, Tyron Smith, believes that the Jets have the weapons not only to win, but to win it all. Take a listen.
They have all the pieces together right now. And again, you know, the final piece has been this offseason to produce, a team that could, you know, could go all the way.
All right. So I guess I got to ask you. The Jets offseason, their moves makes them – what?
The biggest finger-crossed team in the NFL. You know?
If they could only stay healthy.
Everybody in the building, the guy who's usually sitting in this chair.
I could only stay healthy.
If they can somehow catch that fortunate bug, they'll be really, really, really good. I mean, this is the most talented Jets football team certainly in my lifetime. I'm 40 years old. And you look at a guy, Aaron Rodgers, while coming off of the Achilles and certainly want to see how he's going to be. I expect him to be on the field relatively the same player that we've grown accustomed to. This offensive line has the chance, if they're healthy, to be a very good offensive line. I talked about Breece Hall. It's a good tight end unit. Two wide receivers, if Mike Williams stays healthy, can be very impactful. So it's just a giant dice roll. I mean, the biggest dice roll in the league is Tyron Smith at his age and his injury history, protecting Aaron Rodgers at 40 years old coming off the Achilles. But it's a fingers-crossed situation, and if they somehow make it work, they're going to be a very good football team.
Neek, what do you think?
Yeah, first of all, I want to see the rest of that painting behind Tyron Smith. That thing looked amazing. Second of all, I think Dan nailed it. They need to stay healthy. And I think it's also possibility Aaron Rodgers isn't the Rodgers that we all expect to see. He didn't play at all last year. He's obviously gotten a year older, and he's coming off Achilles injury. The year before that, he had some injury issues, but he still wasn't the Aaron Rodgers that we all come to know and respect as a passer. So I think there are lots of things that could go wrong for this team. That's true of a lot of teams, but the probability is higher here. And then there's also the point of coaching. It's one thing that I've always recognized is that coaching's value goes up in the postseason. And we have not seen this coaching staff tested in that time period, and they haven't proven that they're able to excel in that under that pressure situation. So I think the ceiling's very high for them, but the floor is pretty low too.
Jake Rods, what do you think? What do you think on this?
I like the sort of high wire act approach, right? Like, you're already completely
tied. No choice, right?
Right. You're already completely tied to a 40-year-old quarterback coming off a major injury. Like, that's a high-risk situation. If something happens to Aaron Rodgers, we know from last year, they're cooked. So, hey, Tyron Smith, Mike Williams, yeah, these guys get hurt a lot, but boy, oh boy, what if they're not?
Right.
If they're not, we have elite performers at these key positions, and that it is – this is the ultimate, like, we constantly ask, like, Super Bowl or bust. Like, that's who the Jets are.
Oh, there's no question.
That's exactly what they have built here around Aaron Rodgers.
If they don't win a Super Bowl, this would be a massive, as big a disappointment as, you know, the Russell Wilson trade to the Denver Broncos that everyone's like, it's the worst trade in the history of the NFL. I mean, it would be a massive disappointment. Think about the additions that they've made. Here's my thing with the Jets, because I think Joe Douglas has done as good a job as possible in this offseason. They still have the 10th pick. And if you're the New York Jets and you have, in many ways, like, lost out on opportunities of the past, chasing flashy things, look at what the Bucs did with Tom. Look at what the Rams did last year with Matthew Stafford. You have to draft an offensive lineman. I don't care what receivers are there. I don't care. You take an offensive lineman, you invest in the protection of the quarterback, because that's the only reason that you will win a Super Bowl. If they do that, and again, they catch some health, this team's got as good a chance as anybody.
Okay, Mike T, give me your thoughts on this, because Graz says he loves this YOLO approach that the Jets got going on here. What are your takes on the Jets this season?
You know, generally similar to the other guys, high variance outcome. Obviously, if those three guys, Mike Williams, Tyron Smith, and Aaron Rodgers, stay healthy, absolutely, they could go really far. But one of the underrated aspects of team building is evaluating the outdoor of other teams, meaning when a team leads an organization, how well do they do? Like, Andy Reid, Bill Belichick historically are excellent at evaluating their own. And when you look at the Cowboys and the Ravens in particular, they're very good organizations. So my only other concern is with Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses leaving the Cowboys and the Ravens, do they know something that maybe other teams didn't, in terms of, is it reasonable to think that both those players will play in 17 games? And I completely agree with Dan O, which is, it's a no-brainer to take the best offensive lineman at 10, because if Morgan Moses on the right side or Tyron Smith on the left gets hurt, job 1, 2, and 3 is to protect Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, especially when you look at, as you talked about, the injury history. Tyron Smith has missed almost 60% of the games for the Cowboys over the past 3 seasons.
Still a good player, though.
He's a massive player.
Maybe it'll work for the Jets.
What could go wrong?
Exactly. Take another break. Coming up, could Pittsburgh be just a pit stop for Russell Wilson? And what if he outplays Justin Fields? We'll discuss that coming up here on Get Up.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's. Download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your women's brackets now.
The number one Women's March Madness bracket game is back. It's free to play, and filling out your bracket has never been easier. Just pick your favorite teams or use one of our autofill tools to help you fill out as many as 25 different brackets with ease. Whether you're a college hoops expert or just looking to join in on the madness, now's the time to get started. Tip-off is today. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app or visit ESPN.com/TCWomen to fill out your brackets before it's too late.
By the way, those ESPN Tournament Challenge women's brackets are open. Download the app, get started, then create a group, invite your friends, get ready for the madness. Of course, the number one bracket game, the women game, closes this morning at 11:30 Eastern. Fundamentalist, we asked Dan O for his top five moves of the offseason. So, Dan, let's go right through it. Let's start with number five.
Yeah, I tried not to go chalk with every pick here. Number five, I think it's a sneaky, huge signing. DJ Reader, the defensive tackle who was with the Cincinnati Bengals to the Detroit Lions. Detroit was one or two plays away from going to the Super Bowl, and the weakness of their football team was that defense. Now you have a run-stopping defensive tackle, one of the best in the NFL, shores that up. And you pair him in pass rush situations with Aiden Hutchinson. Now that offense in Detroit has really a complementary unit and certainly a defensive line unit to go alongside with them. Number four, the Pittsburgh quarterback situation. I think the acquisition of both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Pittsburgh has teetered on like good team for a couple years now. Russell Wilson was a good quarterback last year, not great. Justin Fields had moments of great football last year. Who's going to find the consistency? Because if Mike Tomlin gets that defense playing the way that he always has, and he can get good to above average quarterback play, this is a team that absolutely contends in the AFC North. Then to the NFC South, Atlanta, going after Kirk Cousins and giving him a ton of money. Atlanta's a team that's got all this young talent. So not only are they capable of winning, but that young talent was getting wasted because the quarterback play was so bad. Now a player like a Bijan Robinson or a Drake London or a Kyle Pitts has a quarterback in Kirk Cousins that is a bona fide top 10 at worst quarterback in the NFL. And it brings in the aura of, hey, we can go win this division and maybe contend to win a playoff game. That is massive. Number two, the Philadelphia Eagles have one of the best offensive lines in football. Now they have paired that unit with one of the best, most dynamic and talented backs in all of football. I have said this. Saquon Barkley's life has never been easier. It was always hard for the New York Giants' life. Now he goes to a place where he doesn't have to try to hit that home run all the time, but he could be a back that sometimes gets three or four and then has the capability to take it the distance all the way because the offensive line is going to be such a better unit, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on the outside. And then I think the team that had the best offseason is the Houston Texans. And it's not just a singular move, but all of their moves. I've said this. I believe they're trying to be that 2019 version of the Cincinnati Bengals. The trade and then addition of a Joe Mixon. They lose Jonathan Grenard, but then they go get Danielle Hunter, yep, who had 16-plus sacks, yep, last season. This is a team that fought against Baltimore last year in the playoffs. Overwhelmed, but fought in that game. They retain a player like Dalton Schultz at that tight end. And we know, and we've seen in one season, man, C.J. Stroud looks to be the next Joe Burrow type of player. I think Houston has firmly planted their flag. It's like, hey, I know it's Kansas City, yeah, and I know it's Baltimore. We're here with these additions.
By the way, if you're Will Anderson, you got to be loving this because Hunter's had like 10 or more sacks, I think, with the last five seasons. Yes. So they've got to love that. You saw the list. What did you think?
I like the list. My favorite move's not on there. The Giants getting Brian Burns, I think, was a great – and they paid. Look, I mean, they didn't get him any kind of deal, sure, right? They had a second-round pick and a $28 million a year contract. This is a guy – he doesn't even turn 25 till next month, and he's an edge rusher. Like the DNA of the Giants whenever they've been, sure, great, right? Like, so they're now deep and good at that edge rusher position. I think that was a great move for them. Yeah, I think that was outstanding pickup.
Mike T., you saw the list. What do you think?
It's pretty good, but by far, to me, the best move in the NFL in this offseason is Justin Fields for a conditional third-round pick. Brian, he's 25 years old, and he's thrown 40 touchdowns. In a month, all these teams are going to take a crapshoot on quarterbacks. This is a guy, look, there's some flaws. He has to clean up his sacks. I understand that, but he has high character. He had absolutely nothing to work with, and to me, to get with Mike Tomlin and that defense, I think that is by far the best move in the NFL And I expect him to be there a long time and to beat out Russell Wilson this year and be their starting quarterback.
It's certainly the move I think everybody's been talking about. Neek, who do you think is going to be the starter there in Pittsburgh by the end of the season?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Justin Fields. We've seen what Russell can do at his best. We've also seen that Russell hasn't been at his best in quite some time. I think the ceiling is really high on Justin Fields. And best case scenario is that team plays the way that it's been playing for the past several years, where they keep games close. They don't ask for a whole bunch from their quarterback. But in big moments, Justin Fields has shown that he can reach as high a level as any quarterback in his league. And that's going to be the difference maker. If they can keep these games close and don't to like be an overcoming like super talent that he was in times last year, but ask him to break out those that arm and those legs from time to time, that team could be really competitive in the AFC.
Neek, I agree. I just think for Justin Fields to be the guy, he's got to win the starting job.
Yeah.
Because if we think about the Steelers, right? One, Mike Tomlin is unbelievably loyal. Mm-hmm. And two, they're a good team. So if Russell Wilson wins that job, Russell Wilson plays in a way where he's not going to give games away. He's not going to turn the football over. So they're going to be in every football game. They're probably going to have chances to win. And so they'll keep afloat. And so it's going to have to be Justin winning that job early on to really become their starting quarterback.
See, if you look at Russell Wilson, where he is now, like, this is a guy that by the end of the year, the Broncos wanted to play Jared Stidham instead of him.
Yeah.
Right? 2 years ago, Seattle moves on. Geno Smith outplays what Russell Wilson was doing for them. He could be underwhelming. And Justin Fields in practice is going to be overwhelming.
But even if
he's going to look fantastic.
Underwhelming, they're still going to be in a bunch of games. Yeah, and again, I go back to Mike Tomlin's loyalty.
Yeah, so real quick, Mike T, go.
Yeah, Dan, as you said earlier in the show, you need to have high-end athleticism to be a great quarterback in today's game. Justin Fields has also rushed, oh, by the way, for 2,000 yards and 14 rushing touchdowns. Yeah. I think Arthur Smith is going to turn him into Ryan Tannehill, which he had in Tennessee, and I think his skill set is an ideal fit for this offense.
Neek, I know you're sipping on that tea. I'll give you the final word.
No, I just think the ceiling is much higher for Justin Fields. Even if he doesn't dominate this offseason, I think they want to go with him because in the playoffs, there are going to be some situations where you need someone to just work magic. And we know Russell's done it in the past, but we haven't seen it. We can see Justin Fields being more likely to raise the ceiling on that team than Russell Wilson will be.
It's going to be fascinating.
I totally agree with Dominic.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating in Pittsburgh. But a good thing is they're going to get good quarterback play. By the way, coming up, absolute madness. Kentucky goes down in the first round. It was a stunner, and that's not all. And we're talking about all of it next. Plus, For Sale Sign is up in Arizona. The number 4 pick in the draft is up for grabs. Which team needs to move up in the draft and make a huge splash? That's next on Get Up.